Good afternoon. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly here at WYRN 1480 AM, and we're so thankful that you've joined us another Lord's Day to hear more from God's Word. We've been now on the radio for over 2 years, and we're just so thankful for Sister Ann and this radio station letting us bring God's Word, the truths that are in it, to you, dear sheep of God. We pray that if there's any lost listening, that the Lord will use it to save their souls. We'd love to have you all join us at our services if you have no place to attend. We meet at 11400 Common Oaks Drive, Raleigh, North Carolina. Service starts at 11 a.m. We'd love to have you. I told you last week I was going to preach on the Millennial Temple, but I got to looking in Zechariah chapter 6. There was a couple verses that caught my attention. And it deals with the four chariots. And I'm just going to read verse 7 and 8. And it says, "And the bay," talking about the bay horse, "went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me, and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country." And so what we have here is these horses, these chariots, representing the angelic spirits of the Lord. So the title of this message is Angelic Activity in the Last Days. Zechariah is seeing in his vision what's going to be taking place in the last days, because right after this comes the millennial reign, where Jesus is going to build the millennial temple, and we will get to work on that with him. So Zechariah is looking about 2700 years into the future, and he's looking at the warfare that's taking place between God's angels and Satan and his angels. And I'm going to go ahead and get a little ahead of myself, which were here until the flood. And now, or since then, since the flood, his demons. We're going to see where the angels of Satan are in prison right now, but I believe they're going to be loosened in the tribulation. But angelic activity in the last days. People don't think about that a lot, but there's a lot of angelic activity going on. And I must say that the demons have had more freedom here in America than they did when I was growing up. And if you're older than me, I'm 61 and a half years of age. They're having a whole lot more freedom than when you were a child. Satan and his demons are having what seems like free reign here in America. Lord willing, with prayer, hopefully this coming Tuesday, we can slow this down at the midterm elections. Because if we put people in there that hate Satan and that are Christians and that believe in Jesus, that the demons are going to have a much harder time having their way. But right now, with what we've got, the demons are having their way, Satan's having their way, and we're in a bad way and shape right now here in America. But the four horses and chariots represents the four spirits that are in heaven. Look at Zechariah 6, verse 5. "And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the four heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." And so these four chariots that Zechariah saw are angelic spirits. Now, these angels are part of that angelic host in verse 5 that did not fall with Satan and his angels, which we're going to read about here in a minute in Revelation 12, verse 1 through 4. And we're going to see where they fell before man was even created and fell into sin. Let's go to Revelation 12, verse 1 through 4 right now. And let's just take a look at that real quick. And it says there, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman, and this is Israel, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." The 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast down to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So you're reading of something. The first part of verse 4 takes place, I believe, in Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. And the last part of Revelation 12, verse 4, deals with 4,000 years after the fall of man, speaking of Herod trying to kill baby Jesus as soon as he was born. Revelation 12 is what I also call a time-traveling chapter, because you'll go from before Genesis 1 to the tribulation period in just one verse. So Satan and his angels fell before man was created. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us create man in our image." And then chapter 2, verse 7 speaks about Adam, man being created from the dust of the earth, and God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. And then, yeah, it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then from Genesis 2, verse 7 to Genesis 3, verse 6 and 7 is what's known as the Age of Innocence, which means sin had no effect. But what you do find is even before Adam and after Eve was created and brought to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15 through 25, and God married them up, man and woman, Satan was already kicked out of heaven. He was kicked out of heaven, and he was already fighting God. And so Zechariah, in Zechariah 6 verse 5, he was looking at angelic spirits that would, and now demons, that would be fighting the evil rulers of the world that would come into existence after the fall. So we need to take a look at the leaders of the forces of darkness, because we need to really learn about this, because this is what's happening today in America. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13 is exactly what's happening here in America. Listen to what it says. Paul's writing to the saints of God at Ephesus, and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now listen to verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what we're dealing with today. Satan is not having near the resistance that he did even when I was a child, and he's not having near the resistance that he had when you all who were older than me was a child. So I think we need to look at, where did Satan come from? And if we don't get done, we can spend a couple, two or three Sundays on this. But we need to understand the angelic beings and what's going on. So where was Lucifer at when he first thought to take over God in heaven? Well, in Isaiah 14, verse 12, you're going to read where that he was below the clouds. It says here in Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen?" Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Now here, listen to this. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Of course, God told him in verse 15, "Yet shalt thou be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So Satan was below the clouds. Now, the only place I can find in God's Word, and a lot of Christians, they almost become angry when they hear me say what I'm about to say. But I am 100% convinced that there was a new heaven and new earth in Genesis 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, this does not mean that there was a pre-Adamic race of people or animals. You can read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 and verse 47, and you will see where that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write that Adam was the first man. There was nothing here before him as far as people or animals. But when Satan was kicked out of heaven, Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, he had to land somewhere. And so I'm convinced that the earth here in verse 1 is where that he landed. And we'll get into that here just in a minute. But we want to keep in mind that Adam was the first man to ever live on this earth, and Eve was the second person to live on this earth. There was no pre-Adamic race of people. Now, in Ezekiel 28, verse 11 through 17, Lucifer was created by God. Now, I want you to listen to this. God did not create Satan. He created Lucifer, and Lucifer created Satan. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Isaiah 14, verse 12 is the first and only place in the Bible that you read the name Lucifer. You don't read it anywhere else. The name Lucifer means brightness, morning star, clear. It means to shine, to make a show, and to boast. So, it's not saying that Lucifer was equal to Jesus being the morning star, the bright morning star. But what it's saying is he shone, before he lost his heavenly glory, he was the most powerful, the brightest, the most magnificent being in heaven. You can read Ezekiel 28, verse 11 through 17 to find it. He could even make his own music. And so he's the one that authorizes, or he's the one that leads people to into songs and music that glorify sin and even Satan himself. I'm not saying all songs are evil, but when they talk about drugs and sex and they use foul language, that's coming from the fallen one himself, Satan. Now, after Lucifer tried his coup attempt upon God, the name Lucifer is never used again. Lucifer went from a glorious heavenly being to a very dark and sinister creature when he attempted to take over God. It changed his whole being. Now, today, we don't use the name Lucifer because the coup attempt upon God has already taken place. Lucifer is the name that Satan had before he rebelled. And he had a very high position in heaven. But now, after the fall, he's called Satan. The first place in the scriptures you read Satan, I believe, is in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1, which means opponent. He's called the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12, verse 10. You see, Satan can go up to the throne of God right now. He may be accusing you, a child of God, of the sin that you have just committed or the sins that you have committed. But don't get disheartened, because your Savior, who is now your high priest, is in heaven, and he simply shows Satan his hands and all the sacrificial wounds that he received 2,000 years ago, and he says, "That one's mine. Their sins have been paid for." There's coming a time, it'll take place midway in the tribulation period, that Satan will be barred from ever going back up there to accuse the brethren. And then he's called the dragon and that old serpent and Satan, the devil, in Revelation 20, verse 1 through 2, just before God puts him in hell, before the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Revelation 20 is a very interesting chapter. I encourage you to read it. It's the millennial chapter, and it shows you that Satan is going to be bound in hell for 1,000 years. And during the time that Jesus rules and reigns, and we saints rule and reign with him, for 1,000 years, the devil will be in hell burning. There's another thing that the amillennialists have to deal with. Satan is not bound now. Good grief, man. Look at the country. Does it look like Satan is bound? No, it does not. The name devil means a traducer, which is a slanderer. And that's what he does. He slanders you and I before the throne of God. But thank God we've got the sacrificial wounds. And the blood that was shed at Calvary is inside of that heavenly temple, sprinkled upon all the holy vessels that was the pattern for Moses to make the tabernacle from. So the blood that bought my soul and your soul is sprinkled in the heavenly temple in heaven, and our blessed Savior is sitting at the right hand of the Father with the wounds that he received 2,000 years ago, not scars, wounds, from the Roman spikes that went through his hands and feet, Pilate's cat of nine tails that ripped his back apart, and the crown of thorns. Those wounds are still there upon his head. Those wounds have to be there so that you and I could be saved and remain saved, and for all the elect of God to be saved. And I have not found anywhere in the scriptures where those wounds will ever heal. We will always see the price that was paid for us. All through eternity, all in eternity. Not through, because through means there's an end. Forever and ever in eternity, we will get to look at the wounds that bought our soul, that paid the price for our salvation. Now, when were the other heavenly beings created? Satan was created before Genesis 1, verse 1. At least that is what it seems, because I'll show you that. I believe that to be true. Go to Job 38, verse 47. And then we're going to come back to Genesis 1, verse 2 in a minute. We've got about 12 minutes, so we're not going to get finished, but we're going to cover some important ground. So, when was Satan and the other heavenly beings created? Let's read Job 38, verse 4 through 7. The Lord is getting ready to make Job answer some questions. And he said in verse 3, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." Verse 4 of Job 38 says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Now listen to this. "Or who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" The angels rejoiced. Even Lucifer at this time rejoiced before the coup attempt came into his mind, because if I'm reading the scriptures correctly, the coup attempt took place after God created the new earth. And he was down here below the clouds, according to Isaiah 12, 14, verse 12 through 14. But Job 38, verse 4 through 7, especially 7, says, "The sons of God shouted for joy when the foundations of the earth were laid." Here's the thing. Man was not created until the sixth day. He was nowhere around when the foundations of the earth were, but the heavenly beings were. Now, I'm not talking about God, because God has never been created. What I'm talking about is Satan and the cherubims, the angels, and the seraphims. They had to be created, because there's only one who's never been created, and that's God. So they were created before Genesis 1, verse 1. Now, in Revelation 12, verse 4, where you read about Satan, that old dragon, taking a third of the stars or the angels with him in his rebellion. But Revelation 12, verse 4 is the moment that the war between God's angels and Satan's angels began. All angels were in heaven before Satan's coup attempt on God. One third of the non-elect angels followed Satan and was kicked out with him. Now, in Luke 10, verse 18, Jesus said he saw Lucifer fall. Let me see if I've got that marked. I want to read that. I'm not too far from it. Here we are. Luke 10, verse 18. Jesus, verse 18 of Luke 10 says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "said unto them," his disciples, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Jesus is the eternal God. So Jesus saw Lucifer fall with his angels or be kicked because he's the one that kicked them out. He's part of the Blessed Trinity. So where did they go? They had to have a place to land. So Satan and his angels, the only place for them to land was on this new earth in Genesis 1 verse 1, where Satan came up with his evil plan to take over God. Now, the new earth, I believe, was a place where the angels traversed back and forth, because I'm convinced from Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14, Lucifer was on this new earth. Now, let's go back to Genesis 1, verse 2. We got some interesting things to look at here really quick. So, since Jesus saw Lucifer being kicked out of heaven, and we've seen that he had to have somewhere to go, and it seems like that new earth in Genesis 1 verse 1 was the place, because look at Genesis 1 verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In Genesis 1 verse 2, this is a terrible, chaotic condition. And I believe that this is the condition that the earth in Genesis 1 verse 1 fell into when Satan, being condemned and with his angels and kicked out of heaven, landed. This is the judgment that was brought to it. Imagine this: the only place in the universe where man would live would become the great battlefield between God and his angels, and Satan and his angels and demons, and that battle is going on today. This battle is older than time. Jesus, being part of the Blessed Trinity, was part of God that was trying to be overtaken by Satan. 1 John 5, verse 7 says, "There's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word," capital W, "and the Spirit," capital S. That's where we find the Blessed Trinity. Satan was trying to overtake the Blessed Trinity that created him. That's why in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, we see that that's why Satan came and tempted Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was trying to get our blessed Savior to obey him. And had Jesus done that, then he would have... it would have disqualified him from being God. It would have disqualified him from being our Savior. So in Genesis 1 verse 2, Jesus as God watched the new earth fall under God's judgment. He watched this. Now, there's some things about Genesis 1 verse 2. You say, "Brother John, I don't know if I agree with that." Well, just hear this out real quick. We probably won't get much further than this today. There's two or three things in Genesis 1 verse 2 that we need to look at to show you that there was an earth in Genesis 1 verse 1 that received condemnation. The first one is this: where is God's Shekinah glory that was shining in verse 1? Where is it at now? Because we read there where darkness is now there. What has hindered God's Shekinah glory? Well, I'm convinced it's the Satan being kicked out of heaven and landing on this new earth. Secondly, why is there darkness and water in this verse? Is darkness and water as old as God? The answer is no. There's only one thing as old as God, and that is His Shekinah glory. Now, darkness and water are used throughout the whole Bible to represent judgment. You remember the flood in Genesis 6 through 9? Water being God's judgment, the rainbow that God put after the flood. was to show that he would never destroy the earth again with water, but by fire the next time. What about darkness? Darkness is part of hell. Does not Matthew chapter 6, around verse 20 and 21, speak about the darkness of the soul? Does not 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speak about the darkness of the soul and the light of the gospel shining in these vessels of clay? Verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now here is how this really drives it home for me. Have you ever looked up the word form in Genesis 1 verse 2 in the Hebrew? It comes from a Hebrew word, toho. T-O dot H-O-O. To who? To who? Now listen to what this word means. Desolation, parentheses, of the surface. You can't have a surface without having the nucleus of the body of the earth. And what this without form and void is talking about is on the surface of the earth that was there in Genesis 1 verse 1. And Satan made this glorious creation like a desert, worthless. It's worth nothing right now until God does his great work of creation in Genesis 1. It's vain and empty. And then creation regained its worth when God brought, you can see that the earth was under the water because when he called for the dry land to appear in verse 10, you can see that it came up out of the waters and the waters went to their own place. And the only way that could take place was for the earth to have been under the water. Now, I want to get to the term sons of God. We're going to get just a little bit of this covered, and then we'll have to end the message. The term sons of God is used 5 times in the Old Testament. It does not refer to the saints of God as it does in the New Testament. In John 1 verse 12, Romans 8 verse 14 and verse 19, Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, Philippians 2 verse 15, and 1 John 3 verse 1 through 2 all uses the phrase sons of God. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." In the New Testament, they always refer, the phrase sons of God always speaks about the saints of God. But in Genesis 6 verse 2, verse 4, Job 1 verse 6, chapter 2 verse 1, chapter 38 verse 4 through 7, the term sons of God is found 5 times in the Old Testament, and it's always referring to heavenly beings. And in this case, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, it is speaking about the fallen angels that took upon human form. We're going to read these verses next Sunday, but I just want to, I'll read Romans chapter, or Genesis 6. "And it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Now I'm going to mark my spot right here, and we're going to get into more of angelic activity in the last days. I want you to look up those scriptures and think about them, and I want you to pray about this, because this is a very interesting subject and a very needed subject. So please study this term sons of God, and you can start in Genesis 6 verse 1 through 5. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly here at WYRN 1480 AM. We pray that you'll join us next Sunday at 3 PM to hear more from God's wonderful Word. God bless.